Well, good afternoon and welcome to Talk of the Towns. We try to go beyond the headlines to make sense of the issues facing Maine communities, to share what works and to seek alternative solutions. Talk of the Towns has aired on WERU Community Radio since 1993, dedicated to the proposition that everyone benefits when we share our knowledge, our experience, our concerns, and our perspectives. We're about to practice the magic of community radio, in which those of us in our virtual studio and you who are listening create a dialogue we hope will be of benefit to our friends, our neighbors, and colleagues. We're your hosts, Ron Beard and Liz Graves. We hope you'll stay with us for the next hour and Talk of the Towns. And a reminder that we're recording this show in advance and won't be taking any calls today. Well, we're asking today about the role of historic preservation. Can recognition and preservation of a community's historic places and structures serve as a catalyst for a more vibrant future? We have some wonderful folks from Ellsworth area and Norway, Maine. They believe that's the case, and we're going to hear more from them in just a minute. So again, welcome to Talk of the Towns. I think I'll ask each of you to introduce yourselves a little bit. Cara Romano is the executive director of the Heart of Ellsworth. Hear more about that in a minute. Carla Haskell is the owner of DGC Architects, and she's also a board member of the Ellsworth Historical Society. Brad Miller is director of programs and services at Maine Preservation. And Joan Beale is joining us from Norway, Maine, and she helped with a project to restore the gingerbread house there in Norway. So let's start with Cara, a little bit of background on yourself. How did you get involved in Heart of Ellsworth?
So I became part of Heart of Ellsworth back in 2016 when it was the Downtown Merchants Association. And I grew up in Gouldsboro and now live in Bar Harbor, but really became interested in downtown Ellsworth when I moved my business there as a merchant.
Great. And Carla, a little bit of background of yourself as an architect and as a believer in historic preservation.
That's a long story, but I'll keep it brief. I've owned a business, an architecture business in Ellsworth since 2005. And before that, I had the pleasure of working with Rock Cavano Architects, who had a long history on Mount Desert Island and really taught me to appreciate the vernacular architecture around us. It was really important to him, and he was a wonderful mentor. So before that, I had come from Southern Maine and Massachusetts, and certainly was exposed to historic architecture. But I think his mentorship really had me appreciate what was around me and try to carry it into our architecture today. So,
great. And just for the record, I'm sitting in Ron Cavano's, one of his houses. He designed the house that I built in 1978. So a wonderful connection.
That is great.
Carla, nice to know about that. Brad Miller, tell us a little bit about how you got involved in the world of preservation.
Yeah, so I originally hail from Pennsylvania, so I'm from away, and was always a lover of history and studied history in college, and came to understand the importance of telling those stories in the place where they happened. And so wanted to join the ranks of those trying to save buildings where important history and where important stories and the places of everyday people as well. So that's what got me involved in preservation. And just about 5 years ago, I took the job at Maine Preservation, and that's what brings me to the state today.
Great. And many people, listeners, might know Maine Preservation is the name of Maine Historic Preservation in the past. Is that correct?
Yes. It originally started as Maine Citizens for Historic Preservation.
Okay, great. Thanks. Joan Beale, joining us from Norway, Maine. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your interest in historic buildings and in preservation.
Well, I grew up in the Hudson Valley in New York, and I was the daughter of an architect, but that really had almost nothing to do with this. I married into the name of Beale and wound up in Maine. And when I retired, I felt that the projects that were going on in Norway. I had lived in various other parts of Maine, but the projects in Norway just seemed like an interesting thing to get involved in. And I've enjoyed it. Little did I know that it would be 15 years to complete some of them, but it's been a great ride.
Well, preservation is a long story, so that's great.
Absolutely.
We'll
Yeah.
hear more about that in a minute. Let's ask Kara to talk a little bit about the city of Ellsworth. It's a county seat for those of us in the Hancock County area. But what do you know about the history of Ellsworth and what makes it kind of interesting to live in it today?
Yeah, so Ellsworth is just like many communities in Maine and definitely around the world, very rich with history. Quite a bit of it, is documented through the Historical Society as well as Woodlawn Garden Museum and Garden and Park. And so we're really fortunate to have had a lot of people that have been over the years cataloging Ellsworth's rich history, as well as the Ellsworth American. We're one of the few, towns or cities left in the state that actually have a weekly newspaper, which I count us as very, very, very fortunate for that. And there's a long history there as well. As far as Heart of Ellsworth kind of getting involved in this movement, a lot of people don't know this, but so Main Street America, the organization that we are a part of, actually grew out of the National Trust for Historic Preservation. And so back in around Ron, when the time when your house was built, there was a program that was launched where they did three pilot communities around the country and where they sort of started this Main Street model. And out of that, now there's more than 2,000 networks. Communities around the country that are designated Main Street America communities. And Ellsworth is proud to be Maine's newest. So we joined the ranks of 10 other in 2024 was when November of 2024 is when Ellsworth became a networked community.
So Ellsworth has a history in the since the 50s of kind of seeing the strip, the commercial strip developed, Route 3, that connects the rest of the world with both down East Maine and Acadia National Park. And that put the downtown area at some risk, or at least some people perceived it in that way. Tell us a little bit about what you know about that move, and then why did people kind of say, wait a minute, we've got a downtown that really deserves attention and preservation.
Yeah, so when I came on in 2016, the city really sort of understood that the downtown was really in rough shape. At that time, there was about a 50% vacancy rate. And so the city and three other partners came together to raise money to give to the Downtown Ellsworth Association to hire their first ever executive director. And so we had funding for 2 years for an executive director. And after the 2 year mark, we were sort of expected to be sort of doing our work on our own and finding our way financially. And we were able to do that. And one important point that I do just want to make is that the National Trust for Historic Preservation, as well as Main Street America, they really encourage communities to really be thinking about downtowns as like national parks. So if you can, for example, think about how we care for our national parks, those buildings that are in these downtowns around the country, they also need to be cared for. And so not only is it about place, but it's also about people. So that's where that, community development really comes in.
Great. Liz, I'll turn it to you.
Yeah, this is excellent. I love it when I hear a guest say something that it's exactly what I wanted to get to next. So caring for place and people. Thank you, Cara. I want to turn to Carla, and the first way in is I want you to say a little more for those of us who are not architects by what you mean by when you were introducing, you mentioned the word vernacular. You said there's vernacular to New England architecture and Maine architecture. What does that mean?
Well, that's true. That is a strange word to some people's ears. And as I came up the coast, because eventually I got married to a Mainer, and the first thing he wanted to do was move to Maine. And so my first introduction, I got a job with Witten Architects in Portland, and I got introduced to shingle style architecture. And that was really an eye opener to me. And I just just dove into the ambiance that these buildings had because we had the pleasure of actually going into some of these homes and some of the sketchbooks, which created these like very evocative, moody buildings that tied to the landscape sketches, which really sort of spoke to me. And then as I moved up the coast, and my husband got a job at the Jackson Lab, we were lucky enough to move up here. And all of a sudden, I had this experience on in this area of how shingle style was reinterpreted sort of in this area. And then also looking at buildings so that was Victorian, late 1800s. And so then I was able to sort of even see the humbler homes that were built before then. Rock's excitement, my excitement about it, I get very excited about these local styles and buildings. And so that's essentially what is called vernacular.
Beautiful. Okay, so then join yourself, if you would, to the story of Heart of Ellsworth. How did you get involved? And then there is still sort of breaking news, quite recent news about the whole downtown district getting onto the National Register for Historic Places. Would you tell us some of
Well,
that story?
this is a good Ty, Cara and Carla story because Cara, you probably remember we had so buildings just turned me on, and so I was even volunteering. I wasn't even able to be a member until later of the Historic Commission. I would sit in and listen to stories about, the buildings that used to be here and the livelihoods of people in the area. And so this group of historic commission people, historic society people, even just some people who were just really loved, grew up here and wanted to see something commemorated. We started a museum in the streets. You talk about the 15 years, year, I mean, it was years long venture to try and get people to focus on what specific signs might be important. It's a whole planning process. And Cara was instrumental in helping us even understand that there might be funding out there. This is one of Cara's magical traits. And so that was how I started to work with really, that was 2015, 2016. Heart of Ellsworth really kind of started really kind of having some muscle. And so that's how we started working together. And that collaboration between us has carried on to now.
Awesome. I will jump in. I have a follow-up, but first I'll remind listeners that you're listening to Talk of the Towns on WRU Community Radio. We're talking about historic preservation as an engine, maybe it's steam engine or any kind of engine for building community. And our guests today are Cara Romano, who's the executive director of the Heart of Ellsworth organization, Carla Haskell, who's a very distinguished local architect that we're very proud to call our own. And in a moment we'll loop in Brad Miller, who's the Director of Programs and Services at Maine Preservation, and Joan Beal, who's in Norway and has a cool project there that she's been working on. But to stick with Carla for a moment, and Carla and Cara, but Carla first, give us a painting of what makes Ellsworth, downtown Ellsworth architecture notable and attractive. Why was it worth saving?
Yeah, I guess I'll be more general. What I find fascinating is the story that the buildings are telling just along Main Street. And there are many other stories throughout Ellsworth, but that particular story is one of its first, not really first inception as a downtown, because that was on what I'm going to call the other side of the river. The side of the river that we're calling Ellsworth, the historic district, really was sort of in the 1830s, 1840s. Commercial buildings started to grow along this side of the river, and so you have some very old brick buildings right along the riverfront. Which is just so compelling to me with their curved facades on the corners, which I love. And then there's a responding curve on the other side, and then the building that we know now is owned by Camden National Bank, was Union Trust, and before that it was the First National Bank. So that was like in the 1850s. So you see some really beautiful older buildings, right up to really the only remaining wooden building, which is right now the optometrist's office, but that was really the fire line. That's where the fire of the 1930s stopped. And so that building is really quite old. I think I'm trying to remember, it's the late
Wow.
1800s
And
or
in that era,
1850s, I believe.
I get super excited too. I remember hearing from a village elder that at one point around that era, early 1900s, there were four grocery stores right
And
downtown.
numerous theaters. And so then to then transition to what the fire had touched, and then the city bringing in, not only getting federal money, but bringing in a developer because they knew they had so many theaters, but they were very old and derelict. And so they wanted to have a theater. So they brought a developer in to do what I call the star of the show, which is the Grand. And the other star I feel on the other side of Main Street is Lucchini's building. I'm a real Art Deco fan. So, having those two kind of dot the 1930s landscape, I find very exciting. And then Cara
Perfect.
knows I've got my eyes on these beautiful older wooden homes that were not touched by the fire, big grand homes that now, adapted as the commercial part of Main Street developed. And so those are mostly now lawyers' offices, insurance offices, but they really make a real statement at the head of Main Street.
Okay, quickly before we move to the next part of our thank you so much, Cara, say tell us as quickly and as generally as you can what the about the process leading to that designation and what it might do for Ellsworth. Are there tax credits or will property owners get out of it potentially?
Sure. What I'm really sort of excited about is that now this does put Ellsworth sort of on that short list, I guess, of towns and cities around the state where we do have these historic tax credits because we do have these aging buildings that really do need to find owners that will be able to sort of care for them and to be able to give them new life and what we call in the industry adaptive reuse projects. And so we're really excited and happy to have folks reach out to us if they're interested in learning more. We have some wonderful white papers that were developed by Brad Miller and Maine Preservation, which you're going to get to next. So I'll leave that there for right now.
Great, great. Brad, tell us a little bit about Maine Preservation as an organization, and then we'll talk a little bit about how you're seeing Ellsworth kind of develop in this way.
Yeah, certainly. So yeah, Maine Preservation was founded back in 1972, kind of emerging like similar organizations across the country from the preservation movement, following kind of urban renewal that we see in cities, but also in rural communities across Maine as well. And so it kind of started from folks who wanted to, stop that and think about, the important places in towns and cities in Maine, and that kind of brings us today where we're, a staff of 5 people, and we kind of provide our mission across the state, and that ranges from direct assistance to historic building stewards, so any type of homeowner, all the way up to a business owner or a municipality that owns historic properties. So there's that direct assistance. We do a lot of education and outreach. That's what kind of connected us with Heart of Ellsworth to lead kind of a historic preservation 101 workshop series, which was pretty exciting. And we also have a small sub grant program that supports nonprofits that are, making small repairs to their historic buildings. And we, kind of try to raise awareness and advocate for historic places. So we have an honor awards program that recognizes historic excellence. We have a most endangered list, which kind of raises the alarm of, important places and buildings that are in jeopardy of being lost, as well as advocating for sound state and federal legislation that supports preservation, including historic rehabilitation tax credits, which is what Cara was just mentioning. And so if there's an old building or an old place, we're pretty much interested in Maine.
Great. And you've been a partner with Heart of Ellsworth. Talk about what impresses you about the process that you've helped with and what they're engaged in. What do you like about Ellsworth and what others might learn about the work that they're doing?
Yeah, certainly. I think it, Kara and Carla and other folks who I've interacted with at Heart of Ellsworth are amazing stewards. And I think that's a really important word to kind of hone in on, that we simply inherit these places and we're really just kind of holding on to them for the next generation. And certainly there are people who own the properties and the businesses that are very critical to that process. But in preservation, we play the long game. And I think Heart of Ellsworth understands that. I think along with the buildings, there's also the historic sense of how it was developed. And it's very human scaled and pedestrian oriented and not car centric. And I think that's really great. It kind of helps us slow down. And and that's where kind of the economic development side of preservation really kind of comes into play and supporting the small businesses that have filled those vacant storefronts since 2016. And how they've kind of created the next generation of part of downtown Ellsworth. The four grocery stores mentioned, we used to have these dispersed merchants who could provide these goods, and now we have to go out to kind of the strip mall to get those things. And so, how can we bring that closer to home and support our communities more, keep that money more local?
Right.
Brad, I love that you mentioned, and we're not going to get too deep in the weeds, but I just can't resist. Policy and legislation, because there's a real sense in which I know this is the world I live in, and no, and not very many others do, but the law and policy we operate under is also the building that we live and work in, and the ship that we're sailing on, and quite often it too needs attention. It needs care and renovation, and it's quite comparable. So I just think that's really neat. All the way to we think about sort of the tradition of town meeting government, which is beloved, and we've had on this show recently, and that there are ways in which there are parts of our there are things we have questions about now built into that, so that if we're thinking about inclusion and diversity, there are big questions to be asked in renovating that ship. So I'll leave that for today. Sorry for my soapbox. So my next question for you, Brad, is to say more about, and you started in on this, how preservation of history can also be about a community's future. So say some more about that and where you've seen great examples around the state, and then we're hoping you can, as part of that, introduce what Joan's been doing in Norway.
Yeah, I think preservation, and I'd say a lot of my colleagues in the state and nationally, preservation is 100% about the future, really. We're deciding as communities, as a state, as a society, what buildings we want to keep around, what stories we want to continue and highlight, and how do we want to reuse these buildings that may have had a previous economic purpose, say a textile mill that's no longer economically viable, we're not producing that. And so, how can we reuse this place for now and the future? And so, it really speaks to what we want in our communities and for our children and the younger people that come after us. And so, I think in Maine, that kind of ethic is very strong from a very practical standpoint. Why get rid of something that's not broken? Why don't we just fix it? But also realize, Maine's economy also relies very heavily on tourism, and these stories are very appealing. People want these places to stay around because they understand that they've inherited these kind of amazing resources. And so, yeah, I think across the state, Ellsworth is a great example. I naturally kind of connect to Main Street communities. As Cara mentioned, there are other Main Street communities and also affiliate communities. So, Skowhegan is another great example if we're going kind of to the middle of the state that is reinvesting in their downtown and trying to, and a big part of that is through use of historic buildings, turning to the water, to the river there, to see economic, the ability to bring in kind of river sports and the river park, and that's really exciting. They just completed the rehabilitation of their textile mill right on the river. So that's pretty exciting. And then I would turn up to Norway in the Western foothills and what they've been able to do over the past couple of decades through what is really driven by residents and people of Norway who want to see it for the better and believe in that idea. And all these communities were kind of coming in and trying to assist the local folks, but I'd say they're in Norway, they're the ones, they're pulling everyone with them. Whether that's, picking up trash on the streets, helping with the preservation of a historic house, which is what Joan kind of got started with, and now she's, involved with preserving the church, one of the churches in Norway. And there's a lot of other amazing projects out of the Norway Opera House that's underway. And so I think it's just an amazing story that people want to see change, and preservation doesn't just happen. It takes effort and it takes determination. And it also takes convincing other people it's worth doing, because it's maybe not always the cheapest or the fastest way to make to affect change in a community, but it's probably the most sustainable.
I'll just remind listeners they're tuned to Talk of the Towns. And you've just heard from Brad Miller, who is Director of Programs and Services at Maine Preservation. In a moment, we'll hear from Joan Beale, who's Norway, Maine, and she's going to describe the project that got her started with the Gingerbread House. Carla Haskell is with us. She's the owner of DGC Architects and the board member of the Ellsworth Historical Society. And Cara Romano is Executive Director of Heart of Ellsworth. Well, Joan, to you. First of all, tell us a little bit about Norway. Not all of our listeners will have been to Norway. We're kind of on the coast of Maine. And unless we do a lot of tourism within the state, we might not have been to Norway. I have, but others might not. Tell us a little bit about your town.
Yeah, well, it is becoming a tourist destination, and talk about preservation being an economic driver. That is definitely what we've seen in Norway. Norway's no about 40 miles north of Portland. It's a little west of Lewiston, and it's south of Bethel in the Oxford Foothills region. It's been a Main Street community for several decades, and it was on the historic register probably in the early 2000s, and that's been a huge help for getting projects done. So the Gingerbread House, which I was involved in, is one of many that Brad has mentioned, and it really has been driven by that was driven by just regular citizens. There was a contractor, a retired teacher, another retired teacher, a registrar of deeds. The local historical society just did not want to see this house, which was well loved, be demolished.
What was the history of the gingerbread house itself? Tell us that story and why people wanted to preserve it.
The house is late Victorian, and we learned more about it as we got into the work of preserving it. It had been the home of a mill owner who had a wood dowel factory, and then had gone on to hard times. It's about 80 feet long, two stories, very some elaborate gingerbread. It had been a single family home, but then as hard times came upon the economy, it was cut up into apartments. There was a store downstairs. When we actually took it over, it was right behind the Advertiser Democrat building. We do have a local weekly paper still, also, as does Ellsworth. But it was used to store all the old newspapers. So it was filled with old newspapers, amongst other animal nests and things like that. But there were some very dedicated citizens who really wanted this to happen, and that's how it happened. So it was a nonprofit was formed. The Historical Society purchased it. The house had to be moved. It was donated, but it had to be moved, and it was moved about 50 yards down the street, and it's 80 feet long. So getting the house onto a truck and moving it, and then placing it on a new foundation, and then the exterior was repaired. We sold it about 2 years ago, and have invested the money in a fund at Maine Community Foundation, out of which we take a certain percentage each year, and the board now gives grants to local people who are doing historic preservation work on either their businesses or their homes. So it's, they're not huge grants, but for somebody who's replacing windows or wants a new door or a fan light or whatever, the extra thousand, couple thousand dollars that they could get for something like that is helpful.
And who bought it, and what will the use be going forward?
Private citizen bought it. Her initial, we do have bringing in Maine Historic Maine Preservation here. They have easements on it in perpetuity. So before we sold it, that was all arranged. And they have been really instrumental in all of downtown Norway. There's many several other buildings that they've had involvement with, but which if Brad wants to go into their role, he can later. The woman who bought it had thought about a B&B, some separate apartments. She is not sure yet. There's some code things that changed in between her purchasing it and moving on with her plans. But she has begun all the interior work. So when we sold it, there were no systems. It needed to be pretty much redone on the inside. But the streetscape now has the gingerbread house in it in a different location, but it's there.
And Brad indicated that you've got some new work that you're excited about. What's going on now that excites you?
Well, I mean, the biggest project in town is probably the Opera House, which does have a grant, but it's going to be the grant is just a small piece of what they're going to need to finish it. I'm at the Universalist Church, and through Maine Historic Preservation Commission, this may be relevant to all of you Ellsworth people too, that referendum that passed 2 years ago with bond issue for historic preservation, the church was able to get a grant to complete its work on restoring its belfry, which that building is 1828 and was one of the earliest Universalist churches in the state and the oldest continuously operating one. So church, as you all know, churches are not easy to get funding for, and it was we're really just really happy that we can finally finish this other project that has gone on for a decade or so.
So you've mentioned tourism, Norway becoming a more kind of consistent tourism donation destination. What attracts people to Norway, given some of these projects? What do they see and feel and do?
The town did in 1894 had a huge fire, and so one section of Main Street, which is about maybe 3/4 of a mile long, all of the wooden buildings were wiped out. The church and the gingerbread house were at the other end of town and were not wiped out, but there's all these brick storefronts, which are sort of turn of the century. Norway was a little bypass. Most of the buildings were not taken down and had and there were some, but most of the brick storefronts are still there. And there's a lot of small businesses, a fiber and vine store, a martini and gelato bar, a pizza place. It's not too precious. There's also a pawn shop and antique shops, and things that make it accessible to everybody. But it's people come for strolling around Main Street, especially in the summertime.
Great. And it sounds like a place that people enjoy living. And
Yes,
you're among
absolutely.
them.
Yeah, and I grew up just right in, I mean, I live right in town, and it's
Great.
very walkable.
Yeah.
Great.
Awesome.
Great.
Well,
Liz, back to
yeah,
you.
we'll go over to a whole other part of the human experience. We were at in a church in that last vignette, and we'll go to a jail. I've always been really, really interested in this story, and I don't know it, so I can't wait. One of our reasons we got going on putting this show together is that we heard about an individual award that Carla won in the last little while. From let's see, Maine Preservation. Yes, they recognized Carla with an Excellence in Preservation Award, and the nomination was Ellsworth Historical Society. So it's this wonderful coming together of these pieces, because they, the Historical Society, said that your work acts as a bridge between rehabilitating the bricks and mortar of the past to constructing a durable foundation for Ellsworth's future. So the marquee project cited with your leadership was a successful effort to halt demolition of the 1886 Hancock County Jail. And I guess just wish I could be a fly on the wall in 1888, and go ask the prisoners what their lives were like. That would be pretty fun. So tell us about how that came about and the status now.
I had been brought in, and just because I know a lot of people, I do a lot of volunteer work. So and I guess I really should just take a quick mention, because Maine Preservation Brad's organization provided the award, and it was so humbling that my own historical society provided the nomination. So it was very embarrassing and humbling, yet I know that in some way I am representing the catalysts for everybody's work. Because as Joan knows, Cara knows, Brad knows, it just takes a ton of people to really make this happen. So I will be the spokesperson for this story, but really it was through, again, it's a Carla and Cara story of trying to convince people, the Historical Society itself, who had decided they were just overwhelmed with the care of the building. The Historical Society had actually even happened, and the genesis of it was because of the old jail, when it was abandoned as a jail in, believe it or not, the 1970s. So it was actually used as a functioning jail in the early 70s, to try and save the building even then. So that's how the Ellsworth Historical Society happened. But the care of a masonry building with slate roof was sort of beyond their means, and they did get it on the National Register, which really helped protect it, but it didn't stop it from being demolished if in fact the county, who actually the building would revert to if the Historical Society let go of it. So we had to convince a whole ton of people, including Heart of Ellsworth and the Ellsworth Historical Society, that this building was worth maybe trying hard. Because Cara saw, again, some funding opportunities through her exposure to these Main Street programs and to really the mission of what of Heart of Ellsworth was. And I'll let Cara sort of speak to that more as she has spoken about it. But from that, there were Zoom calls, there were conversations that were opening up to what can we do with the building? How can this, how can we reverse this? And really what we decided was that if we as a citizen group were going to affect any change, we should actually try to volunteer more and maybe even become board members of the Ellsworth Historical Society, to really show our commitment, and to go for a grant that Cara had found an opportunity with, which was through Maine Development Foundation. And this grant, the Revitalize Me grant, really got us spearheaded towards actually finding serious money to fix the building. Brick was falling down, whole sides were wrapped in plastic. The building was really being slowly decommissioned, whether the Historical Society knew it or not. So through that first grant, we were successful in getting. We became board members. About four of us became board members through those Zoom calls. And we kind of turned the ship. And since that period in time, we have received over, it's close to now $1 million in other grants from Maine Community Foundation, through Brad's organization. There's just been the DEA, DAR. So we're really we and Joan probably knows there's sort of a momentum that builds once you become successful, and I think really once you prove that this can happen. So the mortar and the repointing and the rebuilding of the brick facade has happened this year because we got a CDS grant, which is a congressionally designated spending of $500,000. We're going to be doing the slate roof and the flat roof portions of it. Hopefully heat the cell block and really begin to tell the stories that Liz, that you and I think a lot of other people, children love this place. The stories are incredible, and it's going to take years to unfold it.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much. I want to move us on a bit, and I also want to tee up what now, as we enter into the last quarter of our very quick hour, what we'll ask as our lightning round question at the end. And we're not there yet, but it seems important to note here at this point of the story, which is that I imagine when you were holding those Zoom meetings, and I'm sure this was maybe the case, Joan, for some of your projects, that it can feel impossible. Be like, the meetings are convened out of a oh no, or what on earth are we going to be able to do? And it's really important to take this moment as these victory laps to celebrate as the awards and other projects remind us to, because at those early stages, you not only had no guarantee of success, you didn't know what success was exactly going to look like. And so actually staying on the course is just an incredible feat of perseverance. So,
So what I'm interested in is Kara and then Carla, what was the vision of what this building could be in the future of Ellsworth, to take Brad's point? What was the vision that inspired people to give money? It wasn't just about preserving an old building. There had to be something about the future. Kara, you get started with that, and maybe Carla has something to add.
well, I would say that one of the early on visions that Carla, please chime in if I'm incorrect that it's the current vision, but a volunteer and really, really passionate individual in Ellsworth, Mary Blackstone, had initially for this space to sort of be a hub of both translation of our local history, but also to be telling the history of the old jail and sheriff's home, which is a really interesting aspect that hasn't exactly been brought up. But I'll allow Carla to put a finer point on that, because I just really think that Ellsworth doesn't have that in its downtown footprint. We do have Woodlawn, but there's so much to share, so maybe Carla can put a finer point on the vision now.
Well, I think we saw that cultural institutions were sort of missing. I had been president of the Grand Theater, and so that I knew that how important that was to the community. And so the stories of the sheriff's home and jail are not only fascinating and rich, but really spread out to a lot of historic information. And also the designation of the Down East Heritage Corridor, we saw as an opportunity, and this is part of the vision, to not only talk about Ellsworth history, and the Historical Society would be in charge of that, but to have one room dedicated to rotating exhibits from other historical societies throughout Hancock County and
Oh.
Washington County, so that this could serve as a jumping off point to maybe towns that they hadn't thought of visiting or stopping in, or maybe just a way for those towns to sort of share their history. So we're really seeing this as being quite broad, and also even through our own collections, being able to share our own collections, very narrow. So that's an important part, I think, of what we're trying to stamp as our place in downtown is that moment for culture.
And you're playing on that vision, plays on this notion of Ellsworth as gateway, and that's part of the how people refer to Ellsworth as a gateway community, both to the national park, of course, but to Down East Maine. So the historical sense of helping tell those stories really important.
Right. And you talk about the Route 3. You know, people just don't pause in Ellsworth. They don't appreciate it. And so this protection hopefully will cause some attention to it, but also just giving people reasons to stop. So the Chamber of Commerce is just thrilled. They can't wait till this becomes a reality. So they'll
Right.
be able to hand brochures, and that's the revitalization right there.
So turning back to Cara Romano, director of the Heart of Ellsworth, you've got a new project going, which is to me fascinating, and that's the reuse of those old historic buildings. Tell us about the inventory project that you've got going and what that might lead to.
So at this point, now that we've had the designation happen, which is really exciting, we move on to sort of inventorying our downtown. And the question really became, you know, how do we connect these two opportunities of becoming a historic designated downtown and also these historic tax credits wrapped up in the concept of adaptive reuse projects inside all of these buildings, and all of this to be able to help generate revenue for the building owners so that they are able to then turn around and to put that revenue into fixing and securing the envelopes of the building, as well as renovating the insides. So we launched a downtown housing and vacant space opportunity project a couple of weeks ago. And this is more of sort of a data-driven approach to inventorying downtown. And the idea is that we're going to be mapping and documenting every building in the district, not just the ones that are on the National Register, but in our district as being a Main Street America community. And then what we're going to do, we're going to see what's vacant, we're going to see what the potential are, and we're going to really try to be connecting it mostly to housing, just because that is sort of the big issue right now in our state and in our country, but also to like what other highest and best uses are there. And again, this is not to tell a building owner what to do. It is trying to open up opportunities and to get them to perhaps see the space that they own as something different. So we're working closely with property owners to understand the goals that they have for their own spaces, and then to connect them with tools like historic tax credits that can make some of these projects feasible. But what's really, really important about this is that we're doing this from a perspective of creating a roadmap instead of guessing, which is a lot of times what sort of happens. The city of Ellsworth has been very supportive. Twyla Fisher, our economic development director, is actually chairing the economic vitality committee that is taking on this project. And the city's really excited because the more second and third spaces that we can get and we can identify that then can have a new use, the more people we have using the downtown, perhaps the more people we have living in the downtown, that ends up getting people to go out to dinner more, to shop more, get a beer, get coffee, whatever you need. And that really is going to help us with our year-round economy, which is really difficult in down East Maine, as all of us know.
A great story, and just it's reflective of the theme of historic preservation or preservation as a catalyst for the future, the building the community. Step back a little bit, maybe we'll go back to Brad. Step back a little bit as you've heard the stories from Ellsworth and Norway. Any reflections on this notion of what other communities might do to get started connecting preservation with their future? Brad, any reflections on hearing these stories again? Because you've been involved in both of them.
Yes, well, I think it's interesting. I think, as Joe mentioned, Norway's downtown was listed on the National Register of Historic Places in the early 2000s. And, you know, they're kind of maybe a phase beyond Ellsworth in terms of how that has kind of paid dividends. The Norway Opera House was initially stabilized, like the envelope was secured, and the commercial storefronts were fixed with tax credits, and that created an income stream. Meanwhile, the opera house and the upper floors sat vacant, and you know it was kind of a slow burn, and building up to now kind of starting that project of you know restoring the you know performance space upstairs. And so I think that's interesting. There's a former Odd Fellows building in Norway that's being redeveloped for housing, taking advantage of historic tax credits. There's another building that's kind of on the cusp of being lost or saved in Norway right now, the Advertiser Democrat block. So that's interesting. But yeah, I mean, I think preservation is a very reactive field to work in, and we're usually like, oh, a building's going to be demolished. We need to do something to save it. So there are a lot of things communities can do to be proactive. Researching to see if your downtown or a neighborhood is eligible for the National Register is a great first step, and that's what Ellsworth did. Because it's a heavy lift, but it's just recognizing the history of a place and the architecture of a place and those stories. And I would recommend any community that has a National Register historic district to see a lot of them are written decades ago and could be updated. And so that's a step you could take. Some places like downtown Ellsworth somehow never had a National Register district. And so that was kind of a shock. And so exploring those stories. And also realizing that in preservation, we kind of think 50 years and older is historic as kind of a first step of starting. And that's 1976 now. And so we need to kind of take a break and say, well, what's the next story to be told? What's the next phase of American history to look at?
Joan, as you've heard the story of Ellsworth, what inspires you? How do you make the link between preservation and the future of a community?
In terms of how this sort of has emerged in Norway, it really has completely contributed to the community because there are things, for instance, the land trust now has a series of trails for cross-country skiing and snowshoeing, which end or begin in town, and people can sort of use the commercial buildings in town for coffee or lunch or whatever. There's now a big arts program that is now in an old snowshoe factory, which is not a historic, it's not in the historic district per se, but they are doing a huge amount of renovation and community work. So it really has brought in land conservation and arts programming and commercial uses of buildings. And it's been very inspiring to be here for the past 20 years to see how it's gone from empty storefronts and decaying buildings to a new life.
Carla, any reflections as you've kind of listened to your colleagues as to what other communities might take on this notion of preservation moving to the future?
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like, rehabilitation, revitalization, I guess it goes beyond profit. The rewards are providing a future for our buildings. It is sustainability. It's something that I've really embraced as my firm's approach to sustainability is preserving this history. And I think old buildings tell stories, and if you slow down enough and are willing to listen, the stories are very inspiring and can lead to some great ideas.
So it's that idea generation that's important for a community to think about. What could their future have? And this notion of a walking trail that starts or stops in the community. And Kara, I remember a gathering when people were talking exactly about how to make Ellsworth more walkable. And any progress on that front, or do you see how preservation might lead to that? There's a great trail, I'm not sure what the status is along the river. Is that still going?
Yeah, so we have been partnering with French and Bay Conservancy, our local land trust, the City of Ellsworth, and the Ellsworth Public Library, as well as the Skudik International Sculpture Symposium. And we have been working on establishing Riverwalk North and trying to add a little bit of a different feature than normal trails have, which is sort of some sculptural public art. And so for the past couple of years, we've been working with 6 to 7 artists from the symposium, which is anchored down east, which all of them work in stone. And we have some pieces right now that are on loan from them on the Ellsworth Public Library lawn to sort of entice the community and sort of get them thinking about what could these sculptures look like on the trail. And this would also notably be the only trail in the Frenchman Bay Conservancy's sort of trail book that they have that would have sculptural features. So we're really excited to be moving forward, and there's more news coming out in the coming weeks about that. So.
Great. Well, here's a free thought. Include poetry in that. Maybe there's a way to highlight some local poets and have verses on trees or something. I have that experience in Scotland, and I it's a free idea. You're welcome to it.
Okay,
I
I know we
like
have no time,
it,
but I'm going to add to it because I went to Seattle a number of years ago and downloaded an app with poems set in different parts of the city, and you can pull up a if you are in a spot and you see that there's a poem about that spot. Yeah, so super fun.
okay. You're right. We've got to move on and ask the last question. And that is, projects like we've heard described in Ellsworth in Norway and elsewhere have many twists and turns. What insight or piece of advice would you share with listeners to help them persevere rather? Joan, what would you tell others who are just getting started when it gets really hard work? What keeps you going?
I think sort of keeping it in the public. We had lots of open houses and events and involved school kids and had a lot of public. When you get that uplift from public approval, it really helps keep going.
Great. Brad, any short insight to add to that?
Yeah, I'll build off of it. I think the easiest building to preserve is the one that's loved, and the more people you can have love a building, the easier it'll be, the more buy-in you get, just as Joan mentioned. And people that love a building will create new memories there
Great.
for the next generation.
Kara, what would your advice be to someone worried about the long path?
Yeah, I would say it really is persistence and patience. But I do just want to say that I believe that each town, deserves to be loved and to find its authentic identity. And I think that was part of what was hard for Ellsworth for a long time is we weren't really sure who we were as a community. And as one of our community members, Leslie Harlow, said to me one year that Ellsworth just needs to love itself again. And I think we've found that love, and locals now are figuring out ways to create new opportunities and to see what, because we know now what matters.
Last advice to Carla Haskell. Go ahead.
I think everybody said it all. I really can't. Community, love, stories. I mean, it's all right there.
Great. Well, we've come to the end of a very short hour. Be sure and join us from 4 to 5 on the second Wednesday afternoon of each month for Talk of the Towns. Podcasts of our program can be found in the archive section of the WERU website. If you have comments or suggestions for topics, please email us news@weru.org. Our theme music is a medley from Coronach on a Balmain House Highland music recording. Thanks again so much to our guests who were with us today, Cara Romano, Executive Director of the Heart of Ellsworth, Carla Haskell, owner of DGC Architects and a board member of the Ellsworth Historical Society, Brad Miller, Director of Programs and Services at Maine Preservation, and Joan Beale of Norway, Maine. One of her projects was to restore the gingerbread house there. Thanks to underwriters, thanks to Joel Mann for engineering our program, and to College of the Atlantic for production help. Stay tuned for Ralph Nader Radio from 5 to 6 and 2 hours of jazz on Groove Shop from 6 to 8. Liz Graves and I are producers and hosts for Talk of the Towns. This is Ron Beard wishing you a good afternoon.